This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. Can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Our theme today is Christ as King. So I'm going to begin with a song by Stuart Townend, which describes Jesus as the promise of the ages. It begins with these words. God's saints of old, through history told, of the one who was to come, a son, a king, a lamb to be slain for the sins of all the world. His words tell of Old Testament prophecies about the coming of God's anointed son, a ruler, a king, who would one day come to earth to rescue the people from sin and darkness. But this king would also suffer at their hands and be rejected.
God's saints of old, through history told, of the one who was to come, a son, a king, a lamb to be slain for the sins of all the world. He's the promise of the ages, lifted up to save us. Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. He's the fount of living water, King and friend forever. Bow before the promise of the ages. Flesh he came, yet chose to remain with the outcast and the poor. He bled, he died, was raised glorified, now he lives forevermore. He's the promise of the ages, lifted up to save us. Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. He's the fount of living water, of all the earth. Raise your voice and sing hallelujah to the King of all the earth. Lift your hands and sing hallelujah to the King of all the earth. Raise your voice and sing hallelujah to the King of all the earth.
So what did these prophets actually predict? Let's listen to two of them. Isaiah said this of the one who was to come. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Micah, another prophet, not only spoke of a coming king, but stated where he would be born. It was this prophecy that Herod the king was shown by his scribes when wise men from the east came searching for a newborn king at his palace. That prophecy said, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Here's a beautiful song called King of Kings, Majesty, written and sung by Jared Cooper.
King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle. gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty. I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes that I don't deserve,
which will be read out in many churches this morning, taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, where Jesus is described like this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. What an amazing description of Jesus, expressed by a man who was once fully committed to the persecution of the early disciples of Jesus in and around Jerusalem. St. Paul had been known as Saul, a man who was proud, intellectual, a religious Jew, and yet now he had become their chief missionary and evangelist. What on earth happened to change him? Well, he claimed that the risen Jesus himself had appeared to him after his death on the cross and had challenged him while he was on the road to Damascus, on his way to imprison Christians there. His was an amazing about turn. One day, scripture tells us that this same Jesus will return to earth, and not only will he come as king in great glory and majesty, but he'll also sit upon the judgment seat as judge. Then all will recognize him, and there will be no doubt at all about his authority and his might, his majesty and power. We're not told when, only to be ready for his coming. Many Christians today throughout the world believe he is without a doubt our King, not an ordinary King, but King of our hearts and King of our souls. So says the next song, written by Matt Redman and sung by him, King of My Heart.
King of my heart, King of my soul, you are the one that I live. king of my soul. You are the one that I live for. No other name, no other throne. It's you alone. So let my life be undivided, God, king of my soul.
The religious leaders of the day did not accept Jesus as their king because he didn't fit in with their expectations. To them, he was just some upstart who was leading a huge number of people astray, which would bring the Romans rising up in force against them. And so they orchestrated his humiliation and death on a cross. It was a death he embraced in humility and in obedience to God's will. Jesus knew all along it was his destiny to die as a sacrificial lamb for us all. Let's listen to our gospel reading for today, Luke 23, beginning to read at verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." William Barclay, a theologian, once wrote, "Never was Jesus so regal as when people did their worst to humiliate him." He was probably thinking here about that moment when Roman soldiers, having just flogged Jesus with 39 lashes, led him out wearing a crown of thorns upon his head with a robe around his shoulders. Let's reflect on that moment by listening to "Father, Forgive Them," a song from my album Giving It All to You.
Angry faces round you, howling at you, mocking crowds all jeering as they pierce you through. Enemies are sneering and tormenting. It was then I heard you whispering, to me. totally rejected by your people, totally dejected as they call you names, totally ignored they play their gambling games. It was then I heard you whispering, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do to me. Then I saw you looking at them with no return of malice in your eyes. I see your face before me and I know you care. It is then I hear you whispering, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do to me. Then I see you at them with no return of malice in your eyes. Help me to have that same look in my eyes.
In this passage of scripture, Roman soldiers hail Jesus, albeit mockingly, as king. Pontius Pilate had ordered a notice to be placed above the cross which referred to Jesus as the King of the Jews. The leaders spoke out against it, of course, to Pilate, but he, having interviewed Jesus himself, was adamant that the notice should remain there. But also in this reading we hear how a common thief on a cross at his side looked on him and asked to be remembered by him when he entered his kingdom, to which Jesus replied, Today you shall be with me in paradise. So why did Jesus not do more to convince the people he was truly king? Why did he not come in full glory and majesty and power? Why a humble birth and upbringing? Why did his message reach deep into the hearts of the poor and needy and leave those with power and status untouched? This story which follows our next hymn might explain why. Let's first hear You Laid Aside Your Majesty by Noel Richards.
You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you have created. You took all my guilt and shame. In heaven.
Let's listen to that story I spoke of. There's a Russian folktale which tells of a medieval prince who once lived in a sumptuous palace, while all around him hundreds of poor peasants lived in filthy hovels. His heart went out to them, and he determined to do his best for them. He went out among them, visiting most of them in their homes, and they treated him with the utmost respect, even worshipped him. But there was no point of contact between them at all, and he went home bitterly defeated and disappointed. Then one day a very different young man came out to the people. He was an ordinary man, about town, a doctor who loved his work, who longed to devote his entire life to helping the poor. He rented a filthy, rat-ridden shack in one of the back streets. His clothing was just like theirs, old and in tatters, and he lived on the plainest food with little thought to where his next meal would come from. He had no income, as very few people could pay him back for the service he provided, and he gave medicine away free of charge. Before long, this young doctor had won the respect and the affection of the people, as the prince had never succeeded in doing. Little by little, he transformed the whole spirit of the place, settling quarrels, reconciling enemies, helping people to live decent lives. No one ever guessed that this young doctor was, in fact, the prince himself, who had given up his life in the palace and gone down to live among his people as one of them, serving them and loving them in their great need. This story says it all. It tells us why Jesus came as he did, in humility and poverty and obedience to God. A poet named Lauren Houseman wrote a poem which went like this. Light looked down and beheld darkness. Thither will I go, said light. Peace looked down and beheld war. Thither will I go, said peace. Love looked down and beheld hate. Thither will I go, said love. So came light and shone. So came peace and gave rest. So came love and brought life. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Here is Tim Hughes with his song Light of the World. It follows on so nicely from the poem and the story we've just heard. And so to end our programme this week, let's hear a blessing first. May the light, the peace and the love of Christ fill you all this day and remain with you and all those you love forevermore. Amen. It's goodbye from me now, Sheila Hamill, and also from Andrew Ridgewick, my technician here. Andrew.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became born. Here I am to worship, here I sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin.
together.